Welcome to Vital Voices. This is the second part of our look at the life and legacy of American First Lady Edith Bowling Wilson, the second wife of President Woodrow Wilson. Edith was born and grew up in Wytheville, Virginia. Our guest today is Farron Smith. She and her husband, Bill, have taken on the mission of making sure that Wytheville never forgets Edith Bowling Wilson. The Smiths own the building where the Bowling family lived, which houses the Edith Bowling Wilson Birthplace Museum, and they own the Bowling Wilson Hotel just across Main Street. Let's start with your own personal fascination with Edith Bowling Wilson and how that got started and how it grew.
I guess my first introduction to knowing about Edith Bowling Wilson dates back to maybe 50 years ago. I had a dance school in this very spot that today houses the Edith Bowling Wilson Birthplace Museum. It was some years later that my husband and I purchased this building. We ran Skeeter's Inn, a burger store. Just recently sold that, but we always respected the story of Mrs. Wilson and her part in our country's history. Bill and I talked about at what point could we do something to really honor Mrs. Wilson, and we decided that after our children were grown, we had more resources, we'd paid for their college educations, that this would be our way of giving back to a community that we love.
Give me a character sketch. I know you didn't meet her, but give me a character sketch of Edith Bowling Wilson. What kind of person was she? What did she like? What did she dislike? What were her attitudes?
Well, as a little girl, she was the seventh of 11 children. She was the favorite of her grandmother Bowling, and I think she was very much like her grandmother Bowling, the matriarch of the family. Grandmother Bowling, you always knew where you stood with her, and the same with Edith Bowling Wilson. She either liked you or she didn't like you.
What kind of people did she like? What kind of people did she not like?
Well,
what did she not have patience for?
Well, she certainly didn't like anyone who did not like her husband, Woodrow Wilson.
The last time Edith Bowling Wilson came to Wytheville was in 1960. Describe the reason for that visit and what she did that last time.
Okay, her last visit to Wytheville was in 1960 to dedicate stained glass windows at St. John's Episcopal Church. This was the church where she was baptized, confirmed, and married her first husband, Norman Galt. During that stay, she stayed at the George Wythe Hotel. She slept there. This hotel today is named in her honor, the Bowling Wilson Hotel. On her stay in 1960, she actually visited the storefront that was once Durham's Restaurant. She had dinner here, and this is the same location where her museum is located today. On that visit, she asked to visit the upstairs bowling home, so she climbed the steps one last time to the bowling home, the home that would shape her and prepare her for the challenges she would face as First Lady.
And the next year, 1961, of course, brought her death in December, but several months prior to that, she was able to ride in President John F. Kennedy's inaugural parade.
Yes, yes. She was a friend to every future First Lady. She lived to ride in the inaugural parade of President Kennedy. She writes that it was a very cold, frigid day, and she had a flask of bourbon in each coat pocket to stay warm.
What is your take on her opposition to women's suffrage?
Well, if there was one thing we could change about Edith Bowling Wilson, it would be her views on the right to vote. It's hard to explain. Here she was sitting in the White House, living the life that every suffragette dreamed of, but yet she wasn't for women's vote. this may have gone back to her upbringing, but she was in the majority. Most women at that time did not want women's vote. And of course, she would have never opposed any opinion that President Wilson had, which, at first he was against women's vote. It's hard to explain. Again, wish we could change that about our Edith, but it's part of her story and part of our country's history.
Do you view them as kind of an odd pairing or an opposites attract situation? Talk about their relationship.
Oh, well, it's Virginia, maybe the country's greatest love story. You know, she was an independent woman. She was a shopkeeper, an entrepreneur. She had no interest in politics or the White House. But he was very despondent after his first wife, Ellen's, death. He was a man that needed a woman by his side. He wooed her, asking her to marry him after only 6 weeks of courtship. She said no. Mm-hmm. But with time, she did fall in love with him. She saw him more as a partner than the president. He was confident in that he could trust her. She was his helpmate. So while they were at different points in their life, they had much in common, and their love was evident in every way of their courtship.
Tell me some of the ways in which she worked to keep his legacy alive after his death in 1924.
Well, that was her purpose after his death. She spent her life sharing his legacy for world peace. She also arranged after her death to donate the house in Washington, D.C., where they lived after the presidency. He lived 3 years. She lived another 37 years in that home. That home today is part of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So if it weren't for her, that house would not share his story as president. She also helped to provide the funds to purchase President Woodrow Wilson's birthplace in Stanton, Virginia, which is now the Woodrow Wilson Presidential Library.
Describe to me her work with the Girl Scouts.
Well, she was the first honorary president of Girl Scouts of America, and every future first lady has continued in her footsteps. This was very early on in the creation of Girl Scouts, and today at our museum, we welcome Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts can come visit, learn the story of Mrs. Wilson. They can earn badges related to her entrepreneurship, decoding war messages, and what better role model for our young girls today than that of a First Lady of the United States?
Tell me more about the history of the George Wythe Hotel and your acquisition of the property.
Well, let's see. The George Wythe Hotel was built in 1927. It was mostly a men's traveling hotel. My husband and I bought that in 2010. It took us 2 years to get financing. No one wanted to finance a hotel. It took us 2 years for renovations. We opened a soft opening on Edith's birthday in October 15th of 2014. It's been a real labor of love. There's not an inch in that hotel that has not been worked on. It is now a 30-room boutique hotel. Last year, it was accepted into the Historic Hotels of America. The hotel is themed around Mrs. Wilson's life of canaries, orchids, and bourbon. The restaurant, Graze on Main, G-R-A-Z-E, is named for the sheep grazing on the White House lawn. And if you visit the hotel, you have to go up to the perch. This is the rooftop venue. There's a bar there. And you can see five church steeples and beautiful views of the Blue Ridge Mountain.
What were you trying to achieve with the design and the decor of the individual rooms?
Well, first let me say that one reason Bill and I purchased this hotel was to help showcase downtown Withville. So many travelers to our area, we're at the intersection of two major highways. So many travelers would stop at Interstate and never come downtown. So this has given people a reason to come to downtown Withville, visit the Birthplace Museum, shop our retail, visit other local attractions. So it has added to our tax dollars, to tourism, and what really makes Withville such a special place to live. In thinking about the decor of the museum, we didn't want it to be real heavy and historical, but yet at the same time, we wanted to keep the historical significance and some of the original fabric of the hotel. So that's where the three themes came about. The canaries, Grandmother Bowling had those 26 canaries. The love letters, there are 250 love letters between Edith and Woodrow. And the bourbon, Edith did like her bourbon. And we're told that she kept a glass of bourbon by her bedside for medicinal reasons only.
You happen to know what brand she liked?
I think she liked them all.
If she walked in that hotel today, what would she think? What would she recognize?
I think she would be proud that Withville has remembered her in such a way to honor her life and her legacy. You know, she spent her life honoring President Wilson. There are four Wilson museums, and we felt like this was worthy. Her birthplace and childhood home was worthy of preservation. This is the only birthplace museum of a first lady in Virginia. But I think she would be very proud of how her life here in Withville has influenced the future of our little town.
Mm-hmm. Do you happen to have any idea what room she stayed in 1960?
Well, we would love to know that. But the original George Withe Hotel had 42 rooms. Mm. Some of them were as small as 5 feet wide, only had a twin bed and a toilet. You had to pay extra to get a bathtub. So when we renovated the hotel, we had to develop only 30 rooms. So it's not known exactly where she stayed. And when the bank, after the George Withe Hotel closed around 1973, it was used as a bank for 43 years. And during that time, the second and third levels were opened up, so some of the original rooms weren't even there.
Let's go back to the museum for a minute. Tell me about some of your favorite artifacts that are in the collection.
Oh, it's so hard to narrow it down. Of course, the operator's license of Mrs. Wilson dated 1904. She was Mrs. Norman Galt. She was the first woman in Washington, D.C. to own and drive an electric car. So to have the photographs, but especially this operator's license that only surfaced a few years ago on eBay that we have now conserved, that's special. We have a small dish given to us by Carrie Fuller. That's Mrs. Wilson's great-nephew. These were one of the dishes that she served Jackie Kennedy on. She called them asparagus dishes. Her franking stamp, back when Mrs. Wilson was first lady, she had franking privileges, meaning that she would take this stamp and frank stamp her letters, and they would go through the mail without charge. She was very frugal. She used this franking stamp until her dying days, so she certainly got her money's worth with that. So it's wonderful to have that in our collections. We have a new collection, the Winnie Carter collection. Mrs. Carter was Edith's nurse and companion the last 6 years of her life. And so these are all personal items that Mrs. Wilson gifted to Mrs. Carter.
Don't you have a foundation that people can contribute to?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Well, first of all, the Edith Bowling Wilson Museum receives no state or federal funding. We rely strictly on grants and for the generosity of our visitors. The foundation is a nonprofit. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we do rely on grants for funding. You know, it's easier to get grants for special projects, but we deal daily with finding funding for operations. You know, we have salaries, although I have been a volunteer and take no salary. This is just a passion and something that I believe so strongly in. But finding funding for operations is a big obstacle.
What is your background? What is your husband's background?
Well, my husband Bill came here with Whitfield Community College, worked there several years, then went out on his own. He's an entrepreneur. We were in the real estate development business. I had a dance school here early on, 13 years, but I've always had a love and respect and an interest in the life of Mrs. Wilson. And sometimes I question, why did we end up with owning the building where Mrs. Wilson was born? But we do feel like there's a purpose somewhere there. At the core of the mission of the Edith Bowling Wilson Birthplace Museum is education. And we feel like part of our vision and mission is to use her life as inspiration to our young people here and really across the country to pursue their goals and use Mrs. Wilson's life as a roadmap of a little girl from Whitfield, Virginia, who grew up to be First Lady of the United States.
Farron, thank you so much for joining us for Vital Voices.
Well, thank you for thinking of us, and we're so appreciative of you and others who appreciate the history of this building and what we're trying to do to preserve it.
We've been talking about American First Lady Edith Bowling Wilson with a person vitally interested in her legacy, Farron Smith of Whitfield, Virginia. To hear part one of our interview about Edith Bowling Wilson, visit WETS.org, then Programs, Podcasts, and Vital Voices. I'm Fred Sossman.